This past fall, we experienced a second spring. The first spring in 2011 appeared to be quite normal. Each of the stages following a mild winter came with the crocus, the forsythia, the daffodils, the redbud, the tulips, the apple blossoms, the azaleas, the rhododendrons, but then a drought began. The locust trees and mustard were not lush. The ripening blueberries shriveled up, and strawberries and raspberries barely appeared. The longest drought in decades took over for 3.5 months beginning in May. Summer flowers stalled, and the highest temperatures ever recorded in the region confirmed the suspicion that nature was following the economy and not the stock market. European economies and banks slipped in Greece, Ireland, Iceland, and Spain. A dormant real estate market sank lower as the bears feasted on Wall Street. Employment sank into the mouth of the dying summer. All the instruments agreed it was a warming day in hell, to paraphrase the poet Auden. Then, at the end of August, the scorched earth felt rain steadily, 2 to 4 days a week, well into December. A second spring recaptured the fall, and deciduous plants grew new leaves, while fall color was brilliant and lasting. Spring bulbs broke ground in December. A rebirth was at hand. Evergreens, conifers, grew 2 feet in a mild, wet autumn without hurricanes from the south. Trees prospered even as they had stolen life from the spring-blooming bushes in their shade. As Louis Pasteur once noted, chance favors the prepared mind and the genes of prepared plants. For thousands of years, nature worshippers saw a portent of rebirth, resurrection, redemption from the carelessness of the man, the failure of unworthy leaders, and the unlooked-for abundance before the lean bitterness of winter. Halloween had redeemed an unfulfilled spring. The life of mankind had discovered the meaning of old myths. Yet winter's cold can kill such late growth. So what could all this mean? American households have regrouped to take back members whose independence was no longer supportable apart. Cooperation challenged competition and winners and losers as justice, even retribution, nibbled at the edges of complacency. Work was cherished, and skeptics of whatever no longer accepted doomsayers who warned the smug and indifferent. Empathy huddled and chanted at centers of commerce seated on unhatched assets. Life only avails, Emerson once wrote, not the having lived. Power ceases in the instant of repose. It resides in the moment of transition from a past to a new state. Thus, the oversoul of Emerson would challenge the overman of Hitler's fascist state, so worshipped by those lost to indifference only seemingly a few years ago. The state only withers when it fails to act for universal justice. If education pays, why do so many owe so much to so few? Staying married is the only tax shelter most Americans will ever have until death do they part. When one adjusts for inflation, the middle class is full of holes. Shall they hang together or separately? Gratitude, as the Christian Science Monitor of November 21, 2011 declared, has secular, religious, and health benefits. Like water, gratitude is necessary for life. And like cooperation in a tax system, provides the flow of capital between generations without war. All classes of society benefit from the just redistribution of assets that periodically puddle or freeze in pockets of prosperity. Individuals can dam up access to these assets until death, but why wait or stall the flow of economic power in gold or fallow land? Our church property symbolizes our dedication to the future in plant cycles whose beauty is designed to stir hope and curiosity in all who see it. Our members and visitors are encouraged to redouble their own efforts at conservation. Conservation is what churches have done in weekly ingathering all over the world for the past 11,000 years. Note the beautiful photographs in the June 2011 National Geographic on Göbekli Tepe, the archaeological site in eastern Turkey. Today, we no longer sacrifice human beings or animals to seek control of the future as these ancient peoples once did, But today our taxes can be used to redistribute our assets and provide for the future of others. Our military operations around the world are all too often profitable overreach to the benefit of only those who enrich themselves. Excess and diversion can also engulf churches and imperial societies, freezing assets which are needed to water the lives of those barely surviving in communities and regions around the world. Hence, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have been attempting to restore hope through medicine and education in Africa, where war and disease have found religious support from repressive governments for thousands of years. So we contribute to the wells in Kenya, as do humanitarian dentists who give their services in tents every year to the poor in West Virginia, just 100 miles from here, because of failed tax systems that no longer provide for the helpless. Our church must challenge the ignorance of the economic and political processes that have frozen the hearts of wealthier neighbors. Greed freezes the waters of life in this world. The poor are too often pandered to by dreams of restitution in an afterlife while submitting to virtual debt slavery in this life in our country. Hence, the Occupy movement gathers at the frozen seats of power seeking a thaw in our society. Money is water and naturally seeks to redistribute itself. A reservoir of goodwill can be generated on church ground to flow into the lives of any community. Whether you have fallen into a hole or dug yourself into one, something I'm expert on, the time to think without distraction is priceless. I've done a lot of that. Our time above ground is always uncertain. So think what you can do to help yourself to rise to the surface again. Initiative provides the focus to act before you bury yourself in recriminations about how you got there. Catch your breath, grab a root, and call for help after looking for a shovel. Education is a tool of varying significance, but upward movement is critical. Discard what you cannot use. Seek company that cares and expects more of you. Read a book like Steven Pinker's The Better Angels of Our Nature on man's progress over the past 1,000 years. Eat less, walk more. Be prepared to do what society needs, not what you feel like doing. Go to the need. TV will keep you entertained, uninvolved, and disconnected. Help those you trust and compare their example to the unfinished projects nearby. You are not unequal to the task if you find those who will be patient as you gain proficiency. Detachment is crucial to escape the mirror of rejection your immediate past may have provided for you. Your growth must be internal to reach the surface where your future can be found. Imagine Syria melting its military assets instead of slaughtering its own people. Imagine the United States getting American investors to rebuild or redesign American public assets in transportation and energy instead of moon colonies and further tax cuts for those already living off of derivative capital tied up in bonds rather than the common stock of future enterprise. Melting down a quarter of the procurement cost of our Defense Department would compensate for much of this transfer and wasteful excess. Syria's tyranny is not the only imperial entitlement that locks up the future of children in endless debt. As Santayana observed, those who ignore the past are doomed to repeat it. The United States has one of the more regressive tax systems among Western economies. We should tax ourselves more to preserve against selfish complacency. How can our church sustain itself and support its members and visitors in these stagnating times, poised and waiting for a second spring? We cannot withdraw to castle keeps behind parapets of assets stacked on foundations made by the debts of the poor. We can only prosper by growing to shelter those seeking hope and confidence from those who have known leaner times. So we regroup and share our experience in families, neighborhoods, and congregations. We tell the truth to power in this world with interests and skills nurtured when we were young or friendless, dependent on those wiser than ourselves, with a sense of distance, looking backward into the past and forward into the future. I was once in a state, never without work, but usually without companionship or the leisure necessary to sustain the empathy we all need. Today, thanks to the opportunity of this church, I have discovered many new friends and hearts to share greater certainty and leisure than I have ever known before. I have never felt so youthful nor spent so much money to preserve my health. The Chamber of Commerce will be giving me an award someday, I hope. I have met dozens of individuals whose energy and skill and discretion have guided my interests or talents in one project for the commons after another. Yet during the long struggle in my youth as a student and in middle age as a high school English teacher, I have never been alone since the age of 22. For 52 years, I have known the rewards of love and fidelity to a common goal that directed my family's life. I cannot die without sharing what I have with those who will live after me. As John Donne reminded us 4 centuries ago, no man is an island. We are all a part of the main. Therefore, ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Return yourself to the status of a common stock and not a more fortunate person's derivative. Our society can only help us if we provide for our own subgroup. Knowledgeable police work gives us the security to act with confidence among strangers. Yet we must learn the law and follow it to protect ourselves from those who do not, as I learned from an experience right here at church. I've never had one before. A second spring awaits any who remember our obligation to the commons in a cosmos that is ever-changing. Corporations are less flexible than churches, but both must constantly pool information, people, and materials to justify their existence. Defend your value to the larger community, and set an example for where young and old can cooperate to survive. The dividends of both depend on doing better with what we have. The will to live and perpetuate yourself is more universal than any one solution to this ancient problem. Each generation is a second spring, even for the childless and particularly for the parents of the prodigal. They who were lost must be found. We all share a freedom of association that the loss of a former or future employer cannot tear asunder. They are all our labor's relations on this, the big blue marble. We need never submit to the profit takers who exploit ignorance and helplessness to enrich themselves from the misfortunes of strangers. The wolf at your door is only your fear of failing resolution. Defend yourself and defend all of us from the predators in our society. A church, our church, is a spiritual refuge against winter kill. Plant hopes for the spring to come. Join us and join the garden club. Plant your dreams for harvest to come.